I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Attention. This is the Dan Le Batard Show.
Roy, how do you feel about the cookie?
I like the cookie.
Dan Le Batard.
We're not changing radio. Radio is changing us.
Stugatz.
I got enough things I got to explain. I did their homework.
This is the real bass.
Trebek, where does he rank all-time game show host?
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
it is another big day in the world of sports because Mike Conley's back in town. Mike Conley and the Utah Jazz back in town. They're giving away shooting sleeves at FedEx Forum tonight. So that is happening. Your Memphis Tiger football team is in Houston, where they will be playing tomorrow. And the array of sports stories that we have going on right now is extraordinary because you've got Mike Conley's return, and not just a return where he will be playing against the person who inherited his job and who was given the keys to the franchise in Ja Morant. So you've got that happening. You've got the Memphis football team, which is, let's be honest, has been almost overlooked here in the last week of tumult over James Wiseman. So they're in Houston, and they are in a position where if they simply win every game less on their schedule, they will be going to a New Year's Day Bowl, which is just extraordinary. Something that never happened, and I'm not sure we ever imagined would happen, the next thing that fits into that category. There is the continuing saga of James Wiseman. Yesterday, of course, on this show, while the show was ongoing, the news broke that James Wiseman had withdrawn his lawsuit against the NCAA. Brad is here, at least temporarily, as we Jeffrey's, I assume, out there placing bets. And Jeffrey's out there probably meeting with his bookie at this moment. We do hope to get him back.
Yeah.
We're not a little certain about this.
We're efforting
the
him.
The timing is a little uncertain, but we hope to get him back in time to make you money in the second hour. Jason Smith is off today, and so filling in for Jason Smith will be Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. We'll talk to Drew next. Chris Harrington, he has a piece up on the Mike Conley return at the Daily Memphian. He will be joining us at 10 o'clock. Our conversation with him yesterday was a little abbreviated because of the Wiseman news. Then Drew Hill, then Jeffrey Spetz, I presume, presuming he is is finished his investing and is here to tell us where to place our money. And then the one story you've been waiting for, that is the lineup for today. Couple things we do have to touch on. First of all, did you see Myles Garrett
with
the helmet?
Yeah, that was awful.
I do want to get Jeffrey in here ultimately because he seemed to be he seemed to be defending the quarterback. I mean, he seemed to be saying, defending him to some extent. He seemed to be saying that he was provoked. And he was to some small extent provoked in the sense that he nearly had his helmet tugged off.
Right.
But that doesn't excuse it. I think the rest of the year. Don't you think the rest of the year?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've never seen that.
If you pull the helmet off, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. We've seen that.
Yes. And then you take the helmet and you hurl it into the stands.
Right.
Fine.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. It's at that point, it's a weapon.
At that point, if you just had hurled it in the stands, you'd be fine throwing it to the ground.
Yeah, throw it to the ground, you're upset.
I have no respect for your helmet.
See it on the sidelines all the time.
But once you clock the guy with your... there seems to be unanimity about this. This is one thing that I think
we can all agree on.
Well, even in his own locker room.
Yeah.
Like, that was what was amazing. From Baker Mayfield on down.
The post game,
it was, you can't do that.
No.
This is unacceptable. I've never seen that. And so, yes, there seems to be pretty much unanimity that that Myles Garrett is going to be, I think, certainly gone for the rest of the year. And so there's that. Then we have the return of Mike Conley. Hasn't it struck you how little we have talked about the return of Mike Conley?
I felt bad about it because a lot of listeners, and I know you guys don't get the complaints a lot of times.
You get complaints. People complain to you.
Not about you guys, but about what we are talking about. And
really?
I'm sure you've gotten this at the Daily Memphian too. Like, why aren't you talking more about the Grizzlies? And listen, I feel really bad for the Grizzlies because yesterday we were prepared to come on and do a celebration for 9 hours about Ja Morant.
Oh,
and instead,
that news broke.
At 10:10, the biggest news in Memphis sports probably of the last 2 years breaks, and it just takes over the radio station for the entire year. And I think to myself, God, I would so much rather.
So do you hear, by the way, in terms of complaints?
Yeah.
Fundamentally, I hear two types of complaints.
Mm-hmm.
The largest complaint that I get at the Daily Memphian is not enough SEC. Easily enough, I get is that there are Tennessee fans here, there are Mississippi State fans, there are Ole Miss fans, there are whatever, and we don't cover them at the Daily Memphian.
Sure,
that's the biggest complaint. Mm-hmm. It used to be, honestly, when I was at the CA, particularly 15 years ago, the complaint used to be from Memphis fans.
Yeah.
Why do you cover the SEC? This is Memphis. I can't believe you have a story about Tennessee at the front of you, but whatever. It was just the opposite. It was Memphis fans who said you should never cover and give any credit or coverage to the SEC, because then we staffed Memphis games and we staffed Ole Miss games and Tennessee games and Mississippi State games and Arkansas games, et cetera. They don't do that anymore. Even at the end of my time was there. It had been a long time since I've been to a Tennessee game. Some Ole Miss games, but they don't do that anymore. So now the complaint is from – and actually, I think it's a legitimate complaint. It's complicated because it's – well, first of all, the SEC is – at the local SEC schools have been so putrid lately that the level of interest in them – good for Tennessee, which is rallying, but
– your Liberty Bowl team of the year, hopefully.
I don't think so.
I
don't think they'll want to come. I think they'll.
I think they have to come. I think there's a lot of pressure behind the scenes.
They will pick a better.
I hope not.
I hope not. I hope for everybody's sake that they come. That would be spectacular.
Yeah. To your point, though, they're playing better, but year for the.
But then
SEC
even
team.
Beyond that, like the mission of the Daily Memphian is specifically Memphis, and it's hard to cover a school that is 6 hours away, even recognizing that there are lots of Tennessee fans in the area, and I hear your complaints. But so that's the complaints that we get. You hear not enough Grizzlies coverage?
The two complaints I'm getting now are not enough Grizzlies coverage. And then the other one is, I'll just be honest with you, the people who hate it when we keep it real on the radio station people, like, because the fans are in an emotional crescendo right now in terms of, you know, backing up the program and F the NCAA. And so I'm getting all of the people like, how dare, you know, Gary Parrish say that Memphis should probably sit the kid, you know, like, right. And so I'm getting those two things.
I see.
The SEC, not as much. I think we fulfill some of that obligation, especially on the weekends because we carry the games.
Right. I would like to point out that for those who don't think you get enough Grizzlies talk,
right.
Every day, Chris Herrington.
Every
10
day
o'clock.
At 10, that's what 10 I
o'clock.
Say.
The man who does the best job right. covering the Memphis Grizzlies of anyone in the universe mm-hmm. Joins this show at 10 o'clock every single day and is over at the Daily Memphian. You could read his piece.
It's a good column this morning Mike.
I think the Grizzlies do get much less coverage. Mm-hmm. And now it's in the face of they've become interesting. Like they really have right. because of the rookies, they have become interesting. Some of this is their own fault. Like right. When's the last time we had a Grizzlies coach or it was media day, right?
Yeah.
Like on the air. Like didn't it used to happen that they would, run their business the way you want. But didn't it used to happen that we were offered all the time? Remember when Dave Yeager was pulled over by the police as he was talking
on the air, live on your show. I was in this box.
He was like a regular.
Over.
He was a regular.
And they offered him, and we would request, and they would give him when we offered. And full disclosure, not as much access, maybe.
Oh no, they have no interest in having people on the air anymore.
It doesn't fulfill anything for them.
It doesn't do it. It doesn't, and that's fine. Run your business how you want to run your business. But then if there's less coverage of your team as a consequence, there's less coverage of your team as a consequence. However, tonight there is a very big game, and it is the return of Mike Conley. And I'll ask you this question.
Yep.
We could even do a poll if Jeffrey were here.
Carol, I'm going to relive a moment here.
Al gets in front of Randolph one more time. They work the ball back to the top for Conley. He'll come over to the left sideline for Lee. Lee turns the corner at the top, comes to the right elbow, back to the left wing. Conley wide open for three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Dave Yeager started clapping as the pass left Courtney Lee's hand. The play was executed beautifully.
To Mike Conley for three. We don't hear
Mike
that
Conley
anymore.
For three. No.
Maybe we'll hear it tonight.
But I think in terms of returns, the biggest returns, players returning,
mm-hmm.
have been when Powell returned, he actually played against his brother Mark, I think. I think so. I think, but I don't know. Powell was traded mid-year when Mark was still in Spain.
Yeah.
So did Powell return before Mark was over here? I don't know the answer to that. So anyway. I'll be honest. I remember nothing about Powell's return.
Well, and we weren't as emotional about the Grizzlies because we hadn't had the core four yet.
No, but Shane's return
big
was one of the
I remember.
I think there are two big returns besides the Mike Conley return.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Shane Battier return.
Yep.
And there was the Zebo return.
Right.
And those were the. And Tony Allen returned. Tony Allen returned too.
With the Pelicans.
And with Shane, there's always been this. Shane was beloved, but there's always been this slight backlash against right. Shane. You hear it in, it's not, for Chris Herrington, it's just he was overrated. He was never the player that his reputation suggested he is. He was a very good role player, but come on, man, let's stop. He was no James Posey. That's basically Chris Herrington's view of the world. And so there's no backlash against Mike. There's no counter. And Mike is a dramatically more important player in the Grizzlies' history than Shane Battier. Not even close. Shane was important. And honestly,
he didn't do hide-and-go-seek contests around town, though, with tickets.
Well, yes. So Shane returned
Remember
twice.
Those?
Shane returned, yes. Shane returned as after he was dealt for the pick that became Rudy Gay. He had his return then. And they showed a highlight video, and they gave out a poster. And people complained about it. They said we shouldn't be. I don't know why.
People complain about everything.
Don't know why. No, but there was a great deal of pushback that we should not be. I thought it was ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Shane Battier was important in the founding of this franchise.
Yes.
But there has never been a return, as Chris Herrington points out in today's column. There has never been a return like this return because there has never been a return where the player and his successor, I mean, I don't know. When Shane came back, it wasn't like Shane versus Rudy, mm-hmm. you know, although they did honestly play the same position.
Sure.
It wasn't that. It just didn't feel like that. Here, it does feel like that. And when I have no idea when Zebo came back, who he was. Like, it wasn't that. Here you have the guy who has led the Grizzlies over the last decade, literally going head-to-head with the ball in his hands against the guy who will lead the Grizzlies, presumably, into the next decade. And so, and they're both... Go ahead.
So, last night I tweeted that Mike Conley appeared in... Oh, he's the franchise leader. He averaged 15 points, 14.9, 3 rebounds and 5 assists. And I tweeted that only a hand... And that's after only a handful of games with Ja Morant that we've seen. We would expect way more from Ja. My question to you is, does the fact that our new girlfriend is probably going to be hotter than our pretty hot girlfriend factor into our the way we treat this tonight? In other words, will it diminish the return?
I don't think it diminishes the return, no.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Because we got a hot girlfriend now.
I know, but I don't think it diminishes the return. I think Mike's probably happy about it. I think it makes it better. You can just purely celebrate Mike. We're also saying there's no wistfulness involved. You don't feel like, and I wish he was back.
Right.
Right.
Man, we need the hot girl back.
No, what you have is you have Mike, and you can celebrate Mike without feeling like when Powell came back, all the people who had wanted him gone realized that, oh my God, the guy's an awesome player. He's winning championships. Although that was from Mark, like that worked out fine too.
Sure.
But I don't think there's any wistfulness here. There's simply, we loved Mike. We love Mike. Mike's tremendous. And it was the right thing to do. And we have a hot girlfriend.
Right.
Now, Chris makes the point and made the point yesterday, makes the point again in the column today, that right now it appears that Ja has a higher ceiling than Mike. But you can't assume that he will have a better career than Mike at all. Injury can happen. He could become a free agent and leave. Like, there are lots of things that will play out.
God.
There are lots of things that will play out in Ja Morant's career. Mike Conley has been,
He's been great. Those first few years we forget were rough.
Oh, they were incredibly rough.
Rough.
And they weren't just... He was also treated badly.
Yeah, the Ivoroni situation.
The first few years, now I'm literally just parroting Chris's column, so you're going to have to forgive me. Mike didn't play home games, any of them. So people are all mad that Ja plays only 28 minutes. Mike didn't play home games, any of them. He only played road games, which was just some kind of insanity. So that happened. Then in his second year, he was nearly traded. But he was nearly traded to Milwaukee until Mark and Lionel Hollins intervened. And then beyond that, he was mocked as the dribbler on radio by
We flipped the script on it, though. It turned in about 2 or 3 years. We forget so fast.
There were a lot of
about the dribbler.
There were a lot of he went through a lot of stuff.
Lionel Hollins Lionel Hollins is the guy who got it done, right?
Yes. Here you go. Here, let me. Now I'm going to completely 100% read.
Quoting now.
Now I'm going to be quoting. Now I'm going to be quoting the great Chris Harrington.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second here. Yeah. He says, this is to your point about the, plus he had to deal with Allen Iverson.
Oh, I forgot about the Iverson thing.
This is at the
Iverson
beginning
thing.
Of his third year.
That was in Mike's third year that we did the Iverson debacle?
Year, they bring in Allen Iverson. He's at the press conference watching Allen. Can you imagine if in his third year they're basically talking about replacing Ja Morant?
That's unbelievable. I forgot about the Allen Iverson.
Anyway,
and Mike wasn't playing at that. Wasn't playing as much.
Here is
what
he said. Okay, here we go. So Morant seems to be a different magnitude of talent. This goes to the sexist hotter girlfriend point.
Yeah,
okay?
Sorry.
Yes, take that back.
I wasn't trying to be sexist,
okay.
But it was an analogy.
So Morant seems to be a different magnitude of talent.
Yeah.
He can be better, but can be and will be are different things. Even with what he's shown himself capable of, if Morant has the career Conley has had, he should consider himself fortunate. Conley will return to Memphis, the franchise leader in points, assists, steals, and three-pointers. He'll also return to Memphis as the guy who captained the team to four playoff series wins and a trip to the conference finals. As the guy who hit a deep three in the final 4 seconds of regulation to force overtime in a three overtime playoff game. As the guy who came back from a broken face wearing a mask to put a soon-to-be historic team on the ropes. As the guy who traded buckets with Kawhi Leonard on the way to an overtime home playoff win. The NBA is littered with examples of individual excellence not adding up to much more than that. Which brings us to the last thing about Mike Conley. He mattered deeply. So there you go.
First of all, Chris did a really nice job of paying tribute to Mike. And Chris is very tempered because he's a much more thoughtful person than I am. I, like other fans, just want the next freaking Russell Westbrook because we've never had that here.
No, there is a... And he's acknowledging that. He has a chance to be something Mike never was, which is a superstar.
Go dunk on people.
Which is a superstar, yes. Yeah. A player who everybody in the country wants to watch.
Right.
But there's no guarantee that he will be that.
People are
already assuming that he will be the next Russell Westbrook.
We never said that about Jaren, though. You know, Jaren was a fourth pick, just like Mike.
No, I understand that. Jaren's a different kind of player. We all acknowledge that Ja Morant has the potential to be something this franchise never had.
Yes.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. But there's...
So we're trying to temper that
He's not there yet. Mike had a ridiculously good career here in Memphis. Anyway, I find it a great comfort that as we celebrate Mike, we have his replacement here, and his replacement looks like he has the potential to be an even better model of that. They are also, in some ways, very similar because different games. One is a more subtle game. One is a more explosive, flashy game. That's absolutely true. Like, Ja Morant sees the court in a way that Mike never did. Ja Morant...
he might be a better dribbler than Mike.
...in the way that Mike never did. But they're both... It's interesting. They're both slight, sort of little guys, right, relatively speaking. They're both sort of were overlooked. They were both drafted in years where there was a... superstar at the top of the draft, Zion Williamson, that's who you wanted, or Greg Oden, Kevin Durant, that's who you wanted, right? They were both that. They were both 19 when they were drafted. They were both 20 when they got here. They both, there are lots of similarities. Then Mike had to go through a bazillion things before he became the Mike Conley we know, and Ja just exploded on the scene. And to be able to see them tonight go head-to-head against each other, this is a game. This is a day when I think we should and are rightfully talking about the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll talk more about it with Chris Harrington at 10 o'clock. But when we return, we will talk to Drew Hill about the James Wiseman situation. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on a Friday morning, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Calkins.
Is this the first time the Grizzlies have a superstar?
Well, I don't think he is a superstar yet. I think this is the first time they have a player who could become a superstar.
Into the lane, hangs in the air, gets it onto the window.
No!
It falls good! The bucket as Ja Morant splits three Hornet defenders for a go-ahead left-handed finger roll. You gotta be kidding me.
The Jeff Calkins Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
If holidays are better in the perfect SUV, truck, or car, Wholesale Unlimited on Pleasant View off Covington Pike is your go-to place right now. I saw so many Yukons and a beautiful Yukon XL. So many GMC Ram trucks, too. Mercedes, Cadillac Escalade. And I love the Infiniti QX60 SUV. The choices are unlimited and the prices are wholesale. That's why they call it Wholesale Unlimited. It's right off Covington Pike on Pleasant View, and they have the best financing. Don't worry about your credit score. Wholesale Unlimited has the best rates for everyone. The holidays are the best time to get more for your money, and a little money goes a long way at the wholesale price. Get what you want to drive today. If it's a car, Wholesale Unlimited has lots of Challengers, Maxima, and Camry. Go to Wholesale Unlimited on Pleasant View off Covington Pike today and tell them you heard about them on 92.9 FM ESPN, or go to wucars.com. Just Google Wholesale Unlimited Memphis. You can thank me later.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering to terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
The cold is here, and Outdoor Living by Memphis Pool wants to help you stay warm and cozy. Gas logs by Real Fire for indoor or outdoor fireplaces to keep you warm by the fire. Hot tubs by Caldera Spas to relax and soothe all of your troubles away after a long day. Don't forget about the kids this holiday season. Outdoor Living by Memphis Pool has trampolines, play sets, and basketball goals. Come visit their showroom at 468 West Highway 72 in Collierville or online at OutdoorLivingMemphis.com.
Fast, reliable internet. It's important to your business. At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, solutions like automatic 4G LTE backup for more complete reliability.
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected. And bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees. I'm not even done yet. Comcast Business has advanced voice solutions at affordable prices and cloud-based security for all your devices.
And that great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 12/22/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. And we give you this toy monkey, which will bang its cymbals when the right resume appears. Okay, there is no monkey.
I said there is no monkey!
But skills tests... that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
A heart in my Tasty Honey Nut Cheerios? Cereal, you trying to tell me you love me?
Actually, it's reminding you that it can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
Wait! They can help lower cholesterol? I've been so focused on the sweet, tasty taste that I completely forgot. Now I'm in love.
Learn more about making Honey Nut Cheerios part of your heart-healthy lifestyle by picking up a box at your local grocery store.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I got to get myself to Oak Hall, and I got to do it today or tomorrow, and you do too, because today and tomorrow, sweaters. How timely is this? Sweaters. Buy one, get the second one half off. Buy one, get the second one half off. Buy two, get the second two half off. Buy three, get the next three half off. Heck, you can get us two for yourself. And then just go ahead and load up on some for the holidays for people. Go knock that out right now before Thanksgiving. It's today and tomorrow only. I actually was noticing I am wearing a pretty tattered sweater at this very moment. It is not an Oak Hall sweater. If Oak Hall can do what it does for my sport coats, imagine what it can do for my sweaters. So I got to get myself to Oak Hall. You too should get yourself to Oak Hall today and tomorrow. Sweaters, buy one, get the second one half off. Joined now by Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian to talk about the James Wiseman situation. Drew, how sad are you that all this appears to be winding down and coming to a conclusion?
I'm joyously celebrating and happy. If we're being honest,
yes.
Like, I know everybody's like, oh, yeah, the content machine, this is awesome. Like, if they go to court, it's going to be amazing in terms of content. I just want to watch basketball, man. Like, let's just get to basketball. Let's figure out what this is. Let's get you know what's coming. Like, there's going to be a release sometime soon. And it's going to say this, or somebody's going to put it out minutes before they release it. And we're going to hear, you know, exactly the number of games and what the punishment may be for James Wiseman, and whether he's paying the money back and how many games it is, and if they have to vacate the 2 wins. And that's fine. All that's fine. Like, we at this point, we know that that's going to happen.
Right.
Let's just play basketball. Like, they can win all these games without James Wiseman. Let's just play basketball.
You are, yes. I will tell you that I didn't feel any great sadness that there wouldn't be the hearing Monday because I didn't expect there to be a hearing Monday. Monday was the pressure point. Monday was the Monday, and the threat of this hearing and the threat of a injunction is what the NCAA honestly wanted to avoid, and it's one of the things that put pressure on this to get it done now. Now that basically, though, he's withdrawn his lawsuit, I don't actually think this thing has to come out today. I think it could very well come out. If you look at the Ohio State situation, how long did that take? Friday is the news broke, and it was early the next week when we found out what the discipline was. I think it could very well follow that course. Now, Penny Hardaway has a media availability today, and I suppose from that perspective, it would be better if this were resolved beforehand so he can comment on the case and now that it's done rather than the uncertainty as to what the punishment will be. Yes?
Yes, correct. And don't you think Memphis fans are ready for they never wanted it to go court anyway or any don't they feel the exact same way as us? Think about what we were thinking about a week ago or a little bit beyond a week ago when they were the topic, the lead on SportsCenter and James Wiseman. And this was all of the national attention that you wanted if you were a Memphis fan coming into the season. And then you end up getting all this national attention in a completely different way.
Right.
That although a lot of people were on your side, it just isn't the same. Like, it would be much different if they were talking about how awesome the basketball team is, which there's a chance that they could do that.
Right.
So don't you think they're happy too?
Well, you're like, we're after the first game when James Wiseman played and Scott Van Pelt was showing James Wiseman highlights. Yes, people love that, and they would like to be back there. Now, we're not going to be back at a James Wiseman highlight situation for a good long while now. I think there is a segment of fans that thinks, I can't believe we have to sit him out at all. This is a travesty. We're being targeted. It's totally unfair, and we should fight them to the death. And I'm so sad that this is settling. This is BS, and we should have fought and fought and fought and given no quarter. I think there is a segment of fans that think that. I think most fans are probably reasonable about this, want the controversy to go away, want the uncertainty that would be hanging over the program that would affect recruiting and everything else to go away, and understand that this is the best thing for the program. Don't you think? I mean, this is very clearly to you. And assuming that you know, he's not whacked for the full rest of the year or something, assuming that this is 8 games or less, do you think this is the best thing for the program?
Yeah. Yeah, it changes a lot when this is going on in the back. Like, sure, things are different without James on the floor, obviously. But even while this is going on, don't you think that this is this major distraction to the team and what they want to accomplish and everything else? And while you're in the national spotlight, you also have a lot of people saying, well, you know, Memphis should be punished, because let's be honest, if it were another team in the same position that Memphis fans didn't like a Kentucky or a Tennessee, they would probably be saying, punish them, you know?
Right.
So this gives you a chance to just move on from everything, and you don't have this uncertainty at the end of the year either of, okay, well, what happens if we lose? You know, are we going to get a postseason ban?
Right.
Or what? This way, you can just move on from all of that. You can focus on basketball and trying to get this team ready for March, which is what the season was supposed to be about from the beginning.
I'm going to ask you about the team in a minute and where they go from here. Do you believe that I think we may not hear until next week. Is that your sense, or do you expect to hear today?
I don't think that they would have dropped the lawsuit if they didn't have a sense of what this is going to be. So I think they already have a sense.
Oh, they absolutely have a sense, but that doesn't mean they have to reveal it. Like, they can go through the charade of there's a process, you have to apply for reinstatement, et cetera. Like, that's part of the whole point of this. They want people to quote-unquote, go through the process, even though they've already circumvented the process by basically discussing what the punishment will be.
Right. I guess my point is, if they wanted to do it today, I'm fairly certain that they probably
could.
Just
right.
because they've already negotiated these terms, right? So if they wanted to do it today, they probably could, but we'll see. I'm kind of with you where I think it may wait a little bit. It may take until Monday to get this thing out and prepared.
That many more days of reaction. It's kind of insanity. And what is right. your – go ahead. What is your prediction on – I'll go ahead and predict too. Let's see. How many games till Tennessee?
Six
between – okay. I think he sits out – I think he plays for Tennessee. I think he sits out five, and they have the two games that in which he played vacated. That's my new revised – I don't know my prediction yesterday. My prediction yesterday might have been three. I think I'm bumping that to five and going to say five and the two games vacated. What's your prediction?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I would say probably.
Okay, then fine. Then I'll say six. You can say five. You can take five. I'll take six.
Okay.
Somewhere
That's
in there.
Fine.
But we agree back for Tennessee?
Somewhere around 4-6.
Back for
Tennessee? Yeah, I think he's back for Tennessee. I do.
Okay. And you looked into this, by the way, the distinction between that some have struggled with. What happens with these two games, presuming that the two games are wiped out by the NCAA, the two games in which he played, the one against South Carolina State and the second one against UIC. What happens typically in this situation? We don't see the situation. What happens to those games?
So we'll know when we get the release because it'll be in the language, whether it's forfeit or vacate, there is a big difference. If it were to be forfeit, then Memphis would go to 0-3, and they would have 2-0 losses against South Carolina State and Illinois-Chicago. But in general, that just doesn't make any sense because, you know, the committees, they're advised to, you know, go with what makes sense. And so when they look at the schedule, they're not going to dock Memphis for losing to South Carolina State and Illinois-Chicago when they didn't actually lose. So it just doesn't make any sense to do that, really, just as it doesn't make sense to give Illinois-Chicago or South Carolina State wins over Memphis
right.
In the rare scenario where they might be considered an at-large bid. None of that would make sense. It makes a lot more sense to vacate, which in that case it just basically
takes away the wins. It just takes away the wins.
It's like the game never happened. So right. Memphis would move to 0-1, essentially. And so those games would not count.
If you look at, for example, John Calipari's record, Memphis lost those games that during the season that was vacated, but he didn't get those wins, right? And Memphis honestly didn't get L's in those games. They just the games just disappear. It's what you're saying. And if the games just disappear, that essentially has no impact because they wouldn't really have helped Memphis's case for the NCAA tournament anyway. The games just disappear. It's fine, right?
Right. And on top of that, so all of the individual statistics all the individual Memphis players will they remain, and this is what I believe.
Really?
Now I'm not 100%
sure. So James gets the 26
points. No, James, except for James. James is the exception. James's stats are wiped, where all of the other Memphis players, individual players, will get to keep their individual statistics from those two vacated games.
That's hilarious because, like, some of the Lester doesn't want to keep that shooting night. You know, like, go ahead, wipe that baby out, you know.
I don't want to say that 100%, but from reading, I read the guidelines and policies, that's what I took away, and I'm pretty certain I'm correct on that.
That's hilarious. All right, and then, okay, so if this happens, he comes back for Tennessee, how are they poised to manage this stretch? Let's just say it's from now until Tennessee. So they got Ole Miss in there. They got NC State in there. Are they equipped to handle this stretch?
I think so. I don't think there's any game besides maybe Ole Miss that looks particularly daunting on the schedule. You think that they would beat every team that they play maybe besides those two games? So let's say that they lose two games and they lose three non-conference games and they go into conference play and, you know, they dominate the conference the way that we think that they're capable, then it's still their record. They might finish the year with, what, 5 losses? So that's not terrible. That's where a lot of people thought that they would be at the end of the year. Plus,
just to be clear, impressive. Are you predicting they will beat NC State? No James Wiseman. Will they beat NC State and Ole Miss or not?
I think they're going to beat NC State, and I don't know about Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss will be closer, but they're at home. I would predict that they're going to lose one of those two games, but they would go 1-1 against Ole Miss and NC State.
And then they come back, James joins them, and they lose to Tennessee at Tennessee.
Maybe. I think with James, if they have James in that game, if they don't have James in that game, it's going to be really tough. Like, that'll be a really tough matchup. And it'd be hard to pick Memphis in that spot. But with James...
John Calipari has never beaten Rick Barnes at Knoxville. Never beaten Rick Barnes at Knoxville. It's hard to win there. Like, it's I do think it'll be... I do think it'll be tough. It'll be tough, I think, even with James. And that gets to the other point. Various people were saying, it doesn't matter if James plays or not in these exhibitions. Doesn't matter if he plays or not in the Bahamas. Doesn't matter if he plays or... And then you saw him against Oregon, and obviously foul trouble was part of it. But they didn't know how to get him the ball either, it seemed to me. Like, what did he get? He got putbacks. Don't you think the fact that he has not played and will not be playing ultimately has an impact on the level of execution? Because a lot of it depends on the team's ability to create and feed the post. And they didn't do that very effectively against Oregon.
Well, sure, but at the same time, I don't think that is going to matter in the bigger equation, which is when they get to March. Like, yeah, it might have a slight impact on their regular season record, whether they win or lose one or two more games. But I don't. Other than that, right. No, I mean, I don't think you're right. You're right. They do need some time to figure out how they can play with James Wiseman. But whether at the most, it's going to impact their schedule by 2 or 3 games. It's not. And that's not going to make or break your season. Like, they're still going to go to March if that happens, right. And they're still going to go into the tournament as a much better team than they are now. So,
okay. What was sure. In terms of the Oregon trip and the Oregon game, what impressed you? Let's focus on the good stuff first. What impressed you most about the Tigers in that game?
Just the way that they were able to fight back And it was interesting because Penny, if you remember, after those games at the end of the last season, was just so down. I mean, he would come in and he would just be pissed. He didn't have that feeling at all. He was positive for the most part through the entire post-game interview. And the reason being was because every time his team went down, they found answers and they came back until the very end when they couldn't catch them. They made it 4 points a couple different times, and James was really effective. But just in general, you don't see young teams like that have answers like that all the time. Sometimes they go down by double digits like they did against Oregon, and they just fold. But then individually, I think DJ Jeffries, again, was very productive. I think he's trending in the right direction, too. And we've seen this since the Bahamas. He's really been impressive to me. He just seems to be productive when you put him on the floor. And then Lester Quiñones looked very active, scored a decent amount of points, not super efficient shooting the ball, but he just looked like he was making a difference out there, very active, getting deflections and whatnot on the defensive end too. So I was impressed by him as well.
I thought the best player, honestly, for Memphis, I mean, James at the end, but Damian Ball throughout the course of the game. He just wrecks people.
Oh, yeah. But isn't this what we expected?
Yes.
For him, this is what we know he can do. He's just a bulldog. Just put him on the floor, and he's a pit bull. He's uber aggressive. And you could just see him bothering Peyton Pritchard, who is a senior guard and one of the best guards in the country. And so that was really impressive as a freshman too. But with Damian, you know, you hope the assists and the offense are there, and that's great. But you know why he's out there on the floor as your starting point guard, and that's on the defensive end. And sometimes if he feels like one of those guys that no matter what the stat sheet looks like after the game, he had a bigger impact than that. But the stat sheet doesn't really tell the full story with him.
A stat sheet kind of told the story with Precious Achiuwa in that it was pretty modest. What did you make of Precious Achiuwa's looking a little lost out there?
Yeah, I think part of that was the fact that when they clog the paint against James, they're also doing the same against Precious. And so, you know, if he can't get out there on the wing and be productive from there, and Penny doesn't want him going one-on-one, so he doesn't want him, you know, trying to take his guy from the wing down to the basket all by himself, because that's just not a smart offense. I just think, yes, he did. He looked a little bit lost. And you hope that this isn't one of those things like you had with, and I'm not saying Precious Achiuwa is Kevin Davenport by any means, but you hope this isn't one of those things where he has a monster game and then not so good of a game and then a monster game, and you hope he can sort of level it out and become a little bit more consistent.
And what do you expect, Drew, assuming, as we all do, that James will be out tomorrow and for the foreseeable future, what do you expect the starting lineup to be? And how will the rotation change? Do you think just DJ slides into the starting lineup and there you go?
Yeah, I do. I think that's your answer, is that DJ's just going to slide into the starting lineup and Precious will slide down to five, and that'll be your answer.
And Penny has said Precious isn't comfortable at five, and they didn't look that great with that starting lineup in the well, of course, they didn't have Damian Baugh in the second exhibition game. Do you like that starting lineup? What do you make of Precious at the five? Of course, he didn't look comfortable at the four yesterday. So I don't know that with Precious it's about four or five. I think it's about him figuring out how to be effective within this team framework, honestly. And his teammates figuring out how to take best advantage of Precious in this framework is to me. And I don't know that it matters so much as to whether he's a four or five.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know who you're going to start at five if it's not Precious. Because if we're being honest, Lance has looked pretty good on the defensive end, but he hasn't given you much on offense at all, and he hasn't rebounded up to his full potential yet. And then Isaiah Maurice, I think we have a good idea of what he is. He's the guy that they're going to put in if they want offense. But I don't think either of those guys really fit with what they want to do as much as sliding DJ in there would make sense. But we'll see, because I think Penny is going to change it up a little bit as the season goes along.
Does the shooting concern you?
I gave it a pass. I gave it a pass the first couple games when we were asking this question. I said, they're good shooters. Well, at least that's what we believe, because that's what we've been told, is that they're good shooters. And so now, if this lasts another two or three games, that's when I'm getting concerned. I can see a shooting slump going three games, like it kind of has. I mean, they shot the ball a little bit better against Illinois-Chicago. But if it goes three games, then that can still be considered a lull. But if this thing lasts six games in the season, then you should be worried about the shooting.
And what's happened with recruiting during all of this? Have they lost ground? Has it troubled people? We're still waiting for a certain kid in West Memphis to decide. What's your sense of how this has played out? Has it had any impact on recruiting?
I don't think it's had a major impact on recruiting. I know that there were questions, like that recruits wanted to know what was going on, because part of them have asked me. And so what's going on? And so I think there were questions as to what's happening in Memphis, so I think it does play both ways a little bit. Like, obviously, recruits don't want to see Memphis face any NCAA sanctions, but they also like seeing the fact that they're standing up for James. And Chris Moore makes a decision on Saturday right after that got moved, right after the Memphis game. And I like the Tigers' chances still to this point. And I maintain that I don't think Arkansas is in it at all, despite the fact that people think Arkansas is in it. I think this is coming down to Memphis and Auburn. And I like Memphis' chances and where they are. And he played again last night. I actually went to the game. and they looked really – he looked good again. Not his best offensive performance, but, man, for a guy who people call undersized, he's really built and a really good rebounder. So, yep, that'll be interesting on Saturday, and who knows, maybe it can add to a Tigers win.
All right, and then finally, it will be a big day Saturday, partly because the football team will also be playing. There'll be some overlap there down in Houston. What do you think of Memphis football and where they are right now?
I think that they're still in the best possible spot they could be for the Cotton Bowl, obviously. I'm not as confident as my colleague, Jonah Jordan, that they're going to win out. You know, we recorded our podcast yesterday, and he was like, oh, yeah, they're winning out. They're going to the Cotton Bowl. I'm a little bit more nervous about that just because we've seen them play close games against, you know, the Tulsas of the world, and they probably should have beaten Temple, but that was a close game. I don't think that they're going to come out of the season without having at least one or two more scares before they get to that bowl game.
Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. You will be at Penny Hardaway's availability, I take it, at 2:30, and we'll have a piece up at the Daily Memphian, yes?
Yes, I will see you there, Jeff.
See you there. All right, that is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. We have now been joined by Jeffrey. Jeffrey, I hope you had a good sleep.
You know, not as good as I would have hoped. I'm more concerned about how my alarm didn't go off because my phone didn't die, and I didn't, like, this isn't a situation.
What is your alarm situation?
So I have it is the alarm that goes off every weekday at the same time. And
it's not your phone.
It is, yeah, it's on my phone.
Oh, it is on your phone.
Right. And this, what I'm more concerned about is the fact that this is.
You must have hit it.
I didn't know.
You just don't know.
It was far enough away.
Do us this favor. Take your phone.
Yeah.
Okay, set it right now for 1 minute from now.
All right.
Okay, set it one now for 1 minute from now, and we will see if it goes off. And we will we'll be able to discern if the phone is working or not.
Oh, no. I'm saying is it is functional. Uh-huh. What I'm concerned about is the fact that I somehow turned off the alarm. Like it's so basically what it is, it's set up for every weekday and it swiped on. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's a little green dot.
Yeah, I got the dot. Yeah.
So what I'm concerned about is it was swiped off yesterday. And I don't know why, because I didn't.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see.
It's not
so
like last
off.
Night.
I see.
Okay. Yeah, it's
you
not
don't
like
check it. You don't ever check it.
I think
I check it every time before I go to bed. You don't check whether the green dot swiped on.
I mean, I'm gonna start now, but no. Like, I think what happened is I was grilling last night and I used the stopwatch, and I think
that's right. Jeffy joins us in progress. What'd you think, your man Myles Garrett yesterday? Clocking. One reason I wanted to have you in here at the start of the show. Was
that's my job?
Unaccountably, well, yes, it's your job, but unaccountably, you seem to be defending Myles Garrett, saying he was on Twitter. You were like saying he was he was goaded into it.
No.
You were that guy.
No, I can have two thoughts in my head at the same time.
Right.
I can sit there and go, you can't probably take somebody's helmet off and swing at them.
Right.
I can accept.
Why did you put probably?
That is true.
Why did you put probably here? No, but the point you make is
you could also make the argument that. He was. I mean, yes, it looked terrible, but he didn't hit him because he wasn't going to. Like, it was kind of like the, you know, like a threading. You know, like, I'm going to swing at you with a helmet, but I know I'm not going to hit you. You know what I mean? Like,
he did hit him. What are you talking about?
Myles Garrett.
Right.
Right. When he ripped the helmet off, you could also make the argument like he was doing the bully move that bullies will sometimes.
You think he didn't mean to hit him and hit him anyway? He clearly won.
Well,
you think his aim was bad, and that's why he hit him?
Yeah, I think he was overwhelmed by Mason Rudolph being, and you know what I mean. Like Rudolph had such terrible accuracy all night.
This is almost a Jonah Jordan level take.
I was also screwing with people.
There's no question. Mason Rudolph tried to yank off his helmet.
Yes,
that's true.
Correct.
That doesn't justify what he did.
That's exactly what
okay,
the point
well, that's
I made.
Fine. Yes, I think we can
and
all
then
acknowledge.
I also, but this is also.
But you, it's only relevant if you're saying, it's only relevant or controversial if you're saying that Mason Rudolph trying to yank off Myles' helmets justifies. Otherwise, who cares? If it doesn't justify it, who cares?
That's what I put that as the previous statement before I put the other take. But this is my other point. If your logic, there were people that were arguing with me. If your logic is, well, Mason Rudolph wasn't going to swing at him. That's not plausible. How can you make that argument? Because at that point,
we don't know what Mason Rudolph
exactly.
Was do
that's what I'm saying.
I don't think you have to go to what Mason Rudolph planned to do if he yanked his helmet.
Well, what's
off.
He going to do? Sit there and stand with it? Like,
no, I don't know that he was going to hit him with the helmet. He might have hit him with it. You could take
if you
off
had
some,
bad enough. If you had bad enough
you
judgment,
you could take off someone's helmet in order to hit them with your fist.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can hit them with a fist better if the helmet is, in my experience,
yeah.
You can hit people with your fist better if their helmet is off. Or, as we've seen other people do, they take a helmet and they hurl it.
Correct. Or, I don't think Mason Rudolph could do either.
I don't need to get into Mason Rudolph's mind to simply condemn. And so it sounds like, because
I agree.
You're talking about all of these other things, that even though you say you're not trying to justify Myles Garrett's behavior, you are kind of justifying it. Because your emphasis is on all the things that Mason Rudolph was doing.
I am saying that Myles Garrett was baited into what he did by Mason Rudolph on the same play. I'm not saying that that means he is justified.
He wasn't baited into what he did. He was baited into getting mad, but not...
Mason,
he was
on the exact
into-
same play, Mason Rudolph tried to rip his helmet off. Mason Rudolph was unsuccessful. Therefore, Mason Rudolph paid the iron price by also... At the same time,
if Myles Garrett pays
the iron price.
If Myles Garrett had simply ripped off his helmet, then I would have said the same thing. Then that's fine.
Right.
But he didn't simply rip it off. He then took the helmet in his hand and clocked him with it.
Well, I can't predict what's going to happen after you trigger an insane person.
Yes.
You provoke the bear. That's like saying you're mad at the bear. Like, I poke at the bear, and therefore I am upset that the bear...
It's like suggesting that in a road rage incident, if I'm driving down the highway and I flip the bird at Myles Garrett, that he can take out a gun and shoot me. And it's fine because, hey...
Self-defense.
Hey, we're on 240.
Self-defense.
That's what happens on 240.
And there was construction.
And you shouldn't have flipped the bird.
There was construction going on.
I was justified in taking out a gun and shooting you. That's ridiculous. Taking out the gun and shooting you is a massive overreaction to flipping the bird. If you want to flip the bird back, flip the bird back. That would be like ripping off my helmet. Maybe I was unsuccessful in flipping the bird. I just flipped half a bird.
We cannot be... We
don't need to know what he was going to intend to do.
Well, sure, because at that point, it's self-defense.
No, it's... I got no problem.
Lawyered.
I got no problem with... what's his name? The offense, Pouncey. I got no problem
Pouncey
with
Pouncey quarterback.
Protect. That was, I do with the kicking. I draw a line between the punching. Why is that? Why is the punching?
Because punches look more violent than kicks. There's no question.
The punching seemed fine. I had no problem with the punching. The kicking is what I objected to. I think it's because he was down and helpless. The kicking.
Defenseless man.
Pouncey coming at him after he is going after Myles Garrett, after Myles Garrett clocked him with a helmet. Pouncey going after him, I don't know, would I even fine him for that? But I think once he's kicking him when he's down, here's my question. We all agree, do we not, that Myles Garrett's done for the rest of the year?
Yes.
Okay.
Because this is almost exactly what Albert Haynesworth did.
He got five games.
Yeah.
How many games are left for the Browns?
I believe they actually have five left.
Haynesworth got five games for a stomping on a guy's head.
Correct.
And so I think that it's certainly five games he's going to get here. And so then the question is what does Pouncey get? And does he get a game or does he just get a fine?
If you made me guess,
I bet
Pouncey gets at least a game, Rudolph gets fined.
I think that's true. Rudolph gets fined, no game. It's too bad because then we could have Paxton. And I don't know if Paxton could be worse than Mason.
I'm sorry, the Browns have six left.
I think they sit them all out.
I don't think Myles Garrett's playing again this year.
No, he's not playing again this year. So and then you fine. I'm with you. Fine Rudolph.
Yeah.
And Pouncey gets a game and a fine.
Yes.
All right. When we come back,
Did you also see the leadership displayed by Baker?
Baker was tremendous.
Post game. Leadermen.
They all crushed him. They all crushed him. Across the Browns locker room, they all crushed Myles Garrett. Like, it was really something.
That was the tough look for
you. You are saying more in defense of Myles Garrett than any of his teammates. Chris Harrington's going to join us. We shorted him yesterday. We'll return with Chris Harrington when we come back, and Jeffrey will tell you how to invest your money. It's Jeff Gawkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Access granted. Welcome to Flash. Ignition activated. Implementing instant play sensor system. Prepare to engage fun at warp speed in T-minus 3, 2, 1. flash forward to the fun with new Flash Instant Games. Loaded with cash prizes, play today, and you could win up to $1,000 in a flash. The new cash-packed Flash Instant Games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Here's your chance to play three times a day and once on Sundays with the Tennessee Lottery. With Cash 3 and Cash 4, your favorite numbers could win you anywhere from $500 on Cash 3 up to $5,000 on Cash 4. So plan to play your favorite numbers. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. And save time using the convenient mobile playslip on your Tennessee Lottery app. Build and save your playslip to use again and again at your favorite lottery retailer. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
I'm going to help you today. I'm going to do that by telling you it's not too early to book parties for the holidays at Bounty on Broad. Don't put it off until the last minute when you'll be scrounging around just to find a place.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.